we had a call for a 16-year-old at a local supermarket. When we got there, the patient was lying in front of the produce stand. Somebody put a pillow under her head. She's lying there, awake and oriented, saying she just didn't feel well. There had been a pre-response from a fire department with the shift supervisor had gotten there as another paramedic, and he had taken vital signs and he reported vital signs to us. And the patient had a normal blood pressure of 130 over 90, had a pulse of 62, and respirations were 12, I believe, if I remember correctly. But she was just not feeling well. She reported she had been outside smoking a cigarette. She had been out with her friends the night before, but was getting ready to come into shift and just kind of got dizzy and lightheaded and wasn't feeling well. So we took her to the ambulance. We packaged her up, took her to the ambulance. And when we got to the ambulance, thinking it was going to be a, you know, typical sick person trip to the hospital, we went ahead and went through and started the typical procedure. We set the patient up. We checked, put her on oxygen, and we put her on the monitor. And the monitor showed a sinus rhythm, about 210. It went up to 250 as we're sitting here watching.
What made you guys put the monitor on her? Was that just standard?
Standard procedure, basically standard procedures. We didn't have no real indication from the, in, you know, had I been at my other squad, which was the local, you know, where I live, it would have been a sick person call, transport in, probably not do a lot with her, which was a good thing. We went ahead and put her on the monitor. Like I said, it was 250.
So you guys didn't really have any kind of cardiology, like a cardiac, you know, you weren't thinking any kind of cardiac cause.
We were not thinking any cardiac cause for this. Really, there was nothing other than, in, you know, we actually, because of her age and her signs, we figured that it may have been that she, you know, she'd been out with friends, had not been home for a couple nights. We thought fatigue, we thought tiredness, general malaise, just general, you know, no real reason for this other than maybe not wanting to work even. We thought it could have been even that far along the line. When we hooked her up to the monitor, saw the 250, we went ahead and we actually tried a vagal maneuver initially, had to try to bear down, didn't change anything. So we gave her six, we had started an IV, gave her six of adenosine, saw the little monitor go beep, and instead of going, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please start. And it did, and went right back up to 250 again. And so we're like, okay, so we gave her the 12, held our breath again as the monitor went to the straight line, and she's like, boy, that feels funny. And she dropped back into a normal sinus rhythm. Okay. And this is neat, because we had no plans, no thought of this going on. And as I went back and I was talking to my partners, like, why did he say he had a blood pressure or a pulse in that there was a normal pulse range? You know, obviously it wasn't. And we figured out that basically the heart rate was going so fast, it was only producing a beat every fourth or fifth beat that it was actually giving the heart rate. So actually his pulse that he got was correct, but it was just that it was,
it was the palpated pulse.
Yes. Yeah. It was coming. Yes.
So she was only perfusing every fourth beat.
Right. Exactly. Perfusing every fourth beat. Right. So just an interesting, you know, you got to remember to follow your procedures, check your calls, you know, and never assume they just have a sick person, which is probably, you know, the area you could run into with this.
So the, what did you guys end up thinking the rhythm was?
It was SVT. It was SVT. SVT, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Had she ever had anything like that happen before?
She said she'd had dizzy spells before after we talked with her, but nothing, never been documented with any type of SVT or any type of heart condition or anything.
Interesting.
It was an interesting case in that it, you know, this person, you wouldn't expect a 16-year-old to have this going on. And I never was able to follow up and find out what else happened from there.
Right. Did she, and you said she was like out partying the night before?
She had been out partying the night before, claims never not to have done any drugs or out, you know, alcohol, right. Smoking cigarettes is the only thing she said she had done at this point.
Okay. How did your communication with that supervisor go when the fire supervisor who You know, were you guys queuing off of them at all, you know?
Well, initially, we, you know, like I said, I think I was. Now, my partner was actually the one who said, let's go up to the monitor. He may have been, but I was thinking, queuing off of him, that, again, I took his vital signs as what they were. You know, mm-hmm. I made the mistake of assuming that this was, you know, okay, I got a good report from somebody who knows what they're doing, so she's just a sick person, you know? Right. And I actually fell into that trap of going, you know, that you need that. That this went on without having to actually, so it's a good thing we did go ahead and check everything, obviously, instead of transporting her in BLS care, which is probably, I may have done a BLS care call myself had we not been with just falling, just did hook her up more than anything else, just for the experience and playing with it. So, right. You know, so.
Right. Talk a little bit about how, you know, your relationships with other people in the profession, how that can potentially influence your patient care. You know, obviously you knew the guy, you trust him, right. You know, and where do you find a balance between trusting those people and also saying, okay, well, I got to do my own assessment.
Yeah. It's a good point. And again, for sick people, and I've learned my lesson, quite frankly, with this experience, with trauma, I'd always been telling my students or telling people that if I teach, you know, if I ever come up on scene, I'm not, you know, and you tell me you have this, you've done your assessment, I'm going to start at the head and work my way through. I'm going to go through and do it because that way I don't miss anything that I got to look for. And with trauma, I always do that. I always start a thing with sick, with the medical, I had not been as vigilant. I was much more likely to take somebody's experience and who had already done it systems along the line. Now I go back and actually try to make sure, you know, you have to do your assessment the same way each time, which is kind of the moral of this story, saying you really need to do your assessment and make sure you understand anything. And don't worry about the fact that somebody's like, why are you redoing that? Explain to them later, because you need to do it to make sure that you do everything you got to do and know what's going on along the line.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. So before you were talking about, in the hospital, the reports communicating with the hospital, okay. Talking about that and, you know, student experience with that.
In another case, I was working actually in the hospital as a clinical preceptor, watching and working with students. And we had a, EMS crew with one of my students come into the hospital and deliver a patient. The patient was a 34, give or take, year old man from a group home. So he basically already had a decreased mental status at this point, normal status. But he came in and was lethargic, non-responsive, and decreased level of consciousness. So right.
We had an elderly male, decreased mental status from a group home.
Right.
And his baseline, and he was even altered.
More altered when he was. And when we got to the hospital, I noticed they gave the report, and the paramedic student gave the report because he was being team leader at that time. And because I know him and I read his body language when he left, he's very frustrated. And he was frustrated because this group of nurses at the hospital, for lack of better terms, were not very good at doing effective listening. Mm-hmm. You would walk in and they would basically continue doing whatever they were doing, never acknowledge that you did anything, talk to them even, they would be doing. And so it looked like they weren't paying attention. Now, the thing I found out is because I was there precepting and watching, the good news is in this process is later on when the doctor came in and was asking about the patient, et cetera, they actually reported that EMS said his level of consciousness had decreased en route to the hospital. And EMS said gave the full report. So they were reporting the EMS said and EMS said, so they were listening, but the communication skills on their side was lacking in that they weren't able to do that. So I had to go back and went back and talked to the student about that communication aspect and said, you know, that you need to do a good patient handoff. You got to go ahead and give them the report, because some of the people and some of the preceptors in the field, and we had to discuss this with them also, were like, yeah, they never take reports. They don't, you just drop them off and leave them. And it's like, right. No, you got to give reports every time, and you have to go through. So we're trying to emphasize that. But this patient was...
So the nurses were... They were paying attention, but they weren't doing it in an active way that gave good feedback to
correct.
The students.
Correct. Yes.
And so your students were getting frustrated.
Frustrated about
with you know what's the why you know
why give a point to the student?
And they're feeling pretty crappy about themselves because they didn't feel like they were appreciated.
Correct. For their absolutely. Work. And so you know we had to go in and you know encourage that. Yeah, even though they didn't feel that way, they were actually it was coming through. It was being delivered, and it was important to do that. And it goes back to basically the communication as a whole, and that actually. In being able to work with each other and to bridge those gaps, which is something that we've been working on. We've added actually to our programs is the communication skills. We actually get with our nursing students and do handoffs, do drills with our paramedics and things to get used to that communication and back and forth and figure out how you can do it better along the line. And try to emphasize the communication. Whenever I do scenarios, they do a full radio report. You know, they practice the radio report. They drop off at a hospital. They practice giving off to, handing off to a nurse. So they get how to give a good report so you aren't wasting time. Because that's the other side of the coin is if you're not concise in your report, you can give them, you know, all this information that they don't really need, especially when they're trying to do other things too. So it's a trade-off on both sides. You have to be able to give a good organized report to your patients. But yet on the other hand, you know, make sure that you give all the information you have to give.
Right. What, you know, talk about the curriculum mm-hmm. from the national, the NREMT, you know, the standard, the NHTSA national mm-hmm. standard curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's very thin as far as patient reporting and things go and communication yes. in the hospital and strategies for that.
Yes.
What do you tell your students when you're having them practice or you're trying to teach them how to give good reports? What are some tips?
Well, the first thing I use is basically we say, decide what you're going to report. And do it the same way every time, okay? If you're going to give the vital signs first, fine. Give the patient achievement, whatever you do, give it the same way so you don't forget anything. You know, organize your thoughts before you present them too. Don't get on the mic and say, okay, now what I need to say. You know, get it organized beforehand so you get it. You know, we initially even actually give them little cheat sheets that says, you know, vital signs, chief complaint, you know. They need to keep it, obviously, on radio communications, you have to keep it short. You have to give what you got to give, but you don't need to tell them that they had operation not two with, you know, for a hernia. You know, that's information you can give later, but it's not part, unless it's pertinent. So you have to make sure you keep it pertinent. And you want to, you know, the radio tips about, you know, hold it for a second before you speak and all those type of things to make sure the students know. You know, and practice it. And again, the practicing makes a difference because we'll put somebody in another room out there and then have them give a report. And the first thing they come back in and says, tell me what's wrong with the patient. So you've gotten the report and what happened. So it shows them that even though they thought they gave a good report, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they get very good at it. It depends on, you know, their experience level, et cetera.
What about then? So that's over the radio. What about then? You know, the hospital report mm-hmm. handing off to a nurse is going to be a little different, obviously.
Yes.
You have more time.
Yeah. Again, you want to, we work more just on the making sure that they have the information they need to have. And again, if they give the same report the same way, they can be more full and give more information. But it's just more of practices and processes. You know, and there isn't any one way to do it. It's a matter of setting it up so that it works well for you and that you aren't wasting nurses and doctors' times.
Right. Did you work with the hospital at all in that clinical site on interaction, you know, how the nurses, you know, talking with the nurses about how they
interact
with the
students? Little bit because in our preceptor reports that we actually have filled out, we do a site review for every site. And so I made sure that student reported that on his site review that he felt. So then I had something in concrete that I could go back to the nursing thing and say, this is what they're seeing, you know, not sure you can do anything about it. And they did actually talk with the nurses a little bit about trying to make more, you know, acknowledgement on the aspect, and it actually got better over time, you know, but again, they had gotten so just into the level of working so quickly that they didn't fall into that category.
Right. What about, how is that, you know, working with the nursing students? How's that been going?
It's going very well.
And how are they, you know, starting to perceive each other's roles in the healthcare system?
It actually is very, that's a very exciting thing. And actually, I'm reporting on that here at NAMSI this year. But basically, we've actually done for the last 5 years, a drill. We actually have a full mock drill where our students pick up the patients, transport them to the hospital, turn them over to the nurse, the hospital being our nursing lab, where our nursing students are there, and we do a transfer, and then they do all the nursing stuff they would do with the doctors, et cetera. But the transfer actually, and then we sit them down and talk back and forth, and that's where it really gets a lot of information back and forth about what was good about the report, what was bad about it, what we didn't know before you got there, what we could have done. And, you know, and they, and our guys talk about, yeah, I know you're doing blood pressures and all that stuff, but don't forget we're here and get a good report along the line. And so that actually has led well. And of course, now for the last 5 years, we've had people now in the field who's went through that, and they encourage the nurses that are there to make sure they're getting good things. So it's kind of building back up and fixing the problem by bringing out more people into the field.
Great. I mean, any other, you know, communication type stuff that you've encountered that you think might be useful to know, any tips or tricks? Did you have any particular nurses that you butted heads with over the years?
The same group of individuals that my student complained about, I had the same experiences with myself. So not then. And again, we didn't really butt heads because I just ignored them, quite frankly, and went on. I said, you know, okay. But I gave them my report and didn't worry about the fact that I was very glad to see they actually were paying attention when I found that out, because I understood the frustration because I felt the same way. And it was like, I had thought, but never voiced, well, don't worry about it. Just do your thing. I always say, yeah, give your report, you know, but, you know, I thought, well, yeah, they aren't paying attention, you know, and that's, yeah.
Anything else? I mean, anything about that? Anything, you know?
Yeah. Just, again, the biggest thing with that 16-year-old probably was that she was a, you know, where was she? Was she sick or was she not sick? You know, she looked like a relatively stable patient. Obviously showing some, she was dizzy, but other than that, all the vitals looked good. The vitals themselves. So it's like, you know, they always say treat the patient, not the monitor, stupid. But on the other hand, you got to use the monitor to help double check everything, because this case, she looked, you know, she had, you know, once we knew her heart was going crazy, the symptoms all matched up with, okay, this is the problem, you know. But before, if you hadn't used all the equipment, you wouldn't have noticed that.
Right. So, cool. Any other thing, maybe tips or tricks for giving hospital reports?
Like I said, just plan your, you know, make sure you know what you're going to say. Say at the same time every time. And if you're new at it, I would actually, again, either use your run sheet and or a small cheat sheet that says, you know, the hospital report the way you want to give it. You know, for our medical command, we use a regional medical command, and they do it differently than our local hospitals do normally. So we actually have a little, we try to make it easy for them so they don't have to go searching all over their paper. So we actually give the report, you know, and match it up accordingly. And we have little cheat sheets. That's about it.
Okay. I think that's it.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from emsresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.